Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir Chaf Beis. We're in Chaf Alf Amid Beis. We are covering now a very basic sugya here in the world of Afara. If this sugya sounds familiar, that's good because we did this at the end of Nedarim. So good, we get Chazara. Nazir and Nedarim are complementary masechtos to one another, right? This is almost like a supplemental to Nedarim. It's probably why, if not definitely why, Nazir's tucked away over here in Seder Nashim because Nazir is really just another form of Neder. And so it's a very specialized form of neder, but it's a form of neder. So this discussion that we're having both yesterday and today, so we had back at the end of Nedarim, back in the 10th, 11th Parakim, and so let's go. And that is that the husband's made for the wife, the Nedarim of his wife. So the Torah empowers the husband to hear the neder of his wife, and now he has a vote. And he has a vote in which he could veto. Okay. And he could say no. He could also say yes. He could be Mekayim, he could be Mefer. So kiyama neder, that's easy. In other words, your neder sustained. I sustain the neder. On the other hand, he could also be mefer the neder. And he could say no and totally reject the neder. Good. So this we already know. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So where does our sugya come up? So the sugya discusses the following. When the husband's mefer the neder, so there are two possibilities. One is that the neder is mufar lemafreya, retroactive veto of the neder. So we go back all the way to the point of origination, and he totally wipes out the neder, he expunges the neder. That's one possibility. The other possibility is megas gaias, is that no, it's only prospectively. In other words, from this point going forward, there doesn't exist any more neder, but from the time that she made the neder until the point of afara, so the neder existed. Lemai nafkamina. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a really simple nafkamina. And that is that a woman declares herself to be a nazir, and her husband hears, and she, and let's do that again. So the Lamai Nafkamina, I'm reviewing, I'm all the way on the top of Chaf Alf Amid Beis, if you want to see me inside, but this is not me formally starting, this is just, it's a chana, it's preparation. So Lamai Nafkamina, Lisha Shenadra, Benazir, Vishama Chavir, Tavam Ravani. So what happened was, is that a woman declared herself to be a Nazir, right, grammatically correct, Nazira. And then her friend hears, and her friend says, yeah, me too. Sounds like a great idea. I'm on board. And then the husband of the first woman was Mefer. So now, let's play it out. It's very simple. And that is that if the Hafar was Lamafreya, so that means that she was never Nazira. So that now her friend who attached herself to the first woman attached herself to nothing. And so therefore the second woman is nothing. On the other hand, if it's Megas Gaius, so that means to say that she was a Nazira up until the point of Afara. So when the second woman attached herself to the Naziris of the first woman, there's something to attach itself to. Good. So that's the Gemara's question of Hafara. Is it Me'akre Akar? Is it retroactive Hafara? Or Megas Gaius? It's only Mikan Ulahaba, but not retroactively. Really straightforward question, simple question. The Gemara starts off, well, we already started off. In other words, we're going to go over Braisas and back and forth in the Braisas. Which position seems to be the more defensible position?
Senior Rabbi, you just said before, the husband can either make him or to me do a father. Does he have to do?
Does what, the husband?
Yeah, no,
the husband does not have to be Mekayim the Neder, but after 24 hours after hearing the Neder and he's silent, so that is a tacit. That's a tacit kiyum.
It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be makim.
It says if he accepted.
Tashma, the Gemara quotes the following. This is a Mishnah that we're going to be seeing on Chav Gimel, otherwise known as tomorrow's daf. So Isha Shenadra Menazir Vaisa Shosiyayim Matam LeMeisa Marisa Sofegas Arbaim. Okay, so it's a really straightforward Mishnah. Mishnah describes a woman who's going to become a Nazir, and then she's not good at it. And she drinks wine, and she's matam lamesim, and she's doing it bemezid, and there are witnesses, and there's warning. So what happens is that onesh, she gets punished. In other words, we're talking about Isurim in the Torah. Isurim in the Torah are for both men and women. The onshim of the Isurim of the Torah for both men and women, so she's going to get malchus. Okay, now, that's the Mishnah over there, and now, classic, we're going to analyze the Mishnah. So, hechidami, ilei medaloi hefalabal srich lememar. Now, I don't understand. Are we talking about a case where the husband was a mefer? If we're talking about just Tom, it's a woman, and granted, she's married, but she declares herself to be Nazira, and she's violating the Isurim, and she's going to get punished, and that's the entire point of the Mishnah? Like, it's too obvious. It's too obvious. We need a Chiddush, right? We do this every time. When we're learning a Mishnah, we're looking for Chiddushim. The Mishnah was intentionally written in order to extract Chiddushim. And over here, you can't tell me the entire chiddush is that you do the crime, and you're going to get punished. It's like that can't be the Mishnah. So el pshita dehe for labal. So it must be obvious that we're talking about where hafar was done. Ah, okay. So now we're injecting into the Mishnah that it's not just a woman, it's not just a wife, it's not just somebody's wife, but the husband did hafara. Now isa kadacha me'akar akar amay sofegas arba'im el ashma mina abal megas gayas. Ah, and now as long as we're here and we're describing where the husband did hafara, so now we have a chiddush. But the chiddush only works according to megas gayas, because again, what does megas gayas do? So it splits the time. Anything pre-Hafara, she was a Nazira. Anything post-Hafara, she's not a Nazira. Oh. So now I can understand how this woman is going to be eligible for Malkus. Because she drank the wine, she was Metamela Mesim prior to the Hafara. But the Gemara says, but here's what I can't handle, meaning it's not going to make sense. If it's Me'akar Akar, so that means that retroactively the Neder never existed. If it never existed, so then why is she going to get Malkus? Oh. So the only way to explain the Mishnah, because we know there has to be a Chiddush in the Mishnah, i.e. the husband did Hafara, Mishnah doesn't say that, but we're going to assume that, and the only way to properly understand the Mishnah is only within the school of thought of Megas Gaius. La'olam e'malacha, Gemara says no. Ba'al me'akar akar. No, the Gemara says, really the truth of the matter is that Hafara works al-yidei Akira. It's retroactive. And then we're going to, obviously we can't say that the husband was Mefer, because again, once we say the husband's Mefer, and once it's Me'akar Akar, so that's retroactively, she was never Nazira. Okay, so what we're going to say is like this. Let's not inject the big Chiddush in the Mishnah, meaning the husband wasn't Mefer. Okay, so then we go back to square one. If the husband wasn't Mefer, so what's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? So Mishim Diktani Seifa, Hey for Labala Vihilo Yadav, Ha'isa Shoshiyan, and Metam Lamesim, Eino Sofegas Asarbaim. Okay, so the Chiddush of the Mishnah is the next part of the Mishnah. Because in the next part of the Mishnah, what happens? So if the husband does Hafara, and she didn't know. In other words, right, we had a discussion back in the Durham whether it has to be Befanov or Shlo Befanov. But okay, sorry, too much information. But the next part of the Mishnah describes a scenario in which he was made for the Neder. She didn't know that he was made for the Neder. And she's non-compliant. She's non-compliant to what she thinks is a Neder, but it really isn't. Now, what's the halacha over there? She's not going to get Malkus. Now, the reason why she's not going to get Malkus is because her husband was made for the Neder, even though she didn't know about it. Now, what we're going to see together, I'm sorry, so let me finish the thought of the Gemara, next four words. So, Taninami Reisha Sofegas. So that's why the Reisha says Sofegas, meaning you're right. In the Reisha of the Mishnah, there's literally no Chiddush. It's just that the Reisha is set up for the Seifa, meaning because in the Seifa, we're going to be describing a scenario where there is Hafara that's done, and there's Hafara that's done, and she didn't know about it. Good. So that case over there represents a Chiddush, and since that case represents a Chiddush, the Mishnah's first case, even though there's no Chiddush in it, is just set up for the second case of the Mishnah. Okay. Let's hold off the discussion until tomorrow, because we only got a snippet of the Mishnah. We didn't get the entire Mishnah. When you see the Mishnah in its entirety, we're all going to see together that there really is even more Chiddush in the Mishnah, but the Gemara right now is happy and sufficient with its analysis of the Mishnah. Good. So far, what did we accomplish today? Again, we're in the basic question of when the husband does a fara, is it retroactively or is it only prospectively? Is it Me'akar Akar or is it Megas Gayas? We thought the Mishnah that comes up in tomorrow's daf is going to be enlightening. It is enlightening, just not in this particular topic. So Tashma. Gemara says, okay, let's do the following again. This is another round. We're going to be quoting here a Braisa. Haisha Shenadra Menazir V'nitmes. So a woman becomes a Nazira, and then during a Nazira, she becomes Tmeya. Okay, we all know. Gone over this now numerous times, and we're learning Nazir. Yeah. So at this point in time, we're all familiar. She now has to go through a Tahara process and bring three Karbanos. The three Karbanos are two birds and an Asham. The two birds are going to be a chatas and an ola. Good. And now what happens is, and now the husband hears about it. Okay, where has he been all this time? Okay, communication wasn't the couple's strong suit. Fine. Anyway, the husband hears about it, and he's like, oh my gosh, this is out of control. And what does he do? He exercises his right to be mefer. And that's exactly what he does. So now, here's the story. So keep in mind now, and she, where is she in her trajectory? She already accepted Nazirus. She started counting. She became Tamea. She now is on the hook to bring three karbanos. Achatus Ola Nasha. And now the husband interjects and the husband's Mefer. So what is now going to be the consequences regarding the karbanos? So Mevia Chatas Ha'ov, Ve'eno Mevia Ola Sa'ov. So, very interesting halacha of the Braisa, and that is that she's still going to have to bring her Chatas bird. Not the Ola bird, but she's going to bring her Chatas bird. Okay. And she's not a Nazira anymore. Husband was Mefer. Good. Fine. But Tuma has nothing to do with Karbanos. Meaning the only reason why she's bringing a Karban is because she was a Nazira and she became Tamea. Right? Okay. Isaka Datcha Tesi Nami Olas. I'm sorry. Isaka Datcha Baal Megas Gayez. So Tesi Nami Olas Off. So the Gemara says, so now I'm trying to wrap my head around the Braisa. Because the Braisa says that she's still on the hook to bring a Chatzos Off. Ah. So if Megas Gaia is, if it's only prospectively and it's not retroactively, so then that means that she was a Nazira. That part of her history did not get wiped out, right? The Hafara did not clear the entire history. It only erased it from Hafara going forward. So that means that she was a Nazira. She became Tamea. So then she'd have to bring both the Chatzos Ha'Of and the Olas Ha'Of. And presumably, the Gemara doesn't even discuss it, but presumably also the Ashram as well. Okay. Even though I'm just Beinenu, the Gemara doesn't even mention it. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, but let's go in the other direction. Let's say it's not prospectively, it is retroactively, right? If that's true, so then I don't understand. So then her entire Nazirus from its origination has been totally erased, and now she was nothing. She was not a Nazir at all. So then I certainly don't understand. So good, she's not bringing Nolas off. She shouldn't bring the Chatzos off as well. Okay. So Hachinami, the Gemara says, okay, point well taken. But here's what I could do, and that is that I could still explain why there's a Chatzos off, even though she was not in a Zira. So Hamani Rebbe Lazar Kaffer here. So at this point in time now, for us, this is old hat. We're used to this because the Gemara keeps going back to this point again and again because it's useful over here in the Braisa now. It's extraordinarily useful. Rav Elazar Kaffer says that when a person attempts to live an ascetic life, that's not proper. The Torah doesn't want us to live an ascetic life. And the person that does is a chote. Ditanya, Rav Elazar Kaffer, Beribi, Omer Matam Alomer Me'asher Chatal HaNefesh. So the Torah describes when it comes to a Nazir, he was a chote, he's a sinner. V'chi be'ezeh nefesh chatazeh. The language of the Torah is so strong, Me'asher Chatal HaNefesh. Chote over his soul. Now again, in the context of the Pesukim, Pashup Shan the Pesukim, Chote Al HaNefesh simply means that he came into contact with Tumah. But still, Rav Elazar Kaffer says is that if we could just focus on those words, he was Chote Al HaNefesh, Bechi Be'ez HaNefesh Chatozeh, Al HaMim Nesh, it's Yerat Mamon Ayayim, Nikar Chote. So you decided that you can't handle wine. And not only that, you make a neder saying that you're not going to drink wine, you're a Chote. Valod Varim Kav HaChomer. And oh, by the way, as long as we're here, we're going to finish a sentence. And that is, Umazeh Shalot Siyar Atzma, Elam and Ayayin. So Nikar Chote, Hamitzar Atzma, Mikol Dover, Alachas Kama V'Chama. So now, just refraining from wine is considered chote. Imagine that you decide that you need to be a total ascetic and you can't handle any of the gashmias of this world. You're definitely a chote. Alachas kama v'kama. So basically what the Gemara is saying, let's now plug it into the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is that we have a braisa that describes a woman who becomes a Nazira and then is metam lemeis, and now she's on the hook to bring karbanos, chatas, ola, asham. And now the husband's mefer, and we're understanding that hafar works retroactively. So the only outstanding question that we need to answer is, so why does she bring a chatzos off? And the Gemara's answer is, for attempted ascetic living. For attempted ascetic living, so now she has to bring a chatzos off. Meaning she wasn't a Nazira, all the way back to the point of origination. Ah, but you know what? In other words, you now are trying to live a life that the Torah does not want hashkafically, so for that, you have to bring a carbon chatas. Now, even as the Gemara says it, by the way, in other words, still it's still challenging to process.
Yeah, it's crazy that if you want to refrain from wine, you're a chote. I
mean, no, that part's not crazy. Rav Elazar Kaffer says it.
Right. But it doesn't mean it's not crazy.
Oh no. In other words, no. He mamish. He feels that way. That meaning, but
But that's not really the way we hold, though, right? It's just someone's opinion.
No, the Rambam absolutely holds like that.
Rambam?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It's not a great one, classical.
Right, the Rambam says like that. Phil would agree. Okay. Totally. The part that I'm marveling at is that even according to Rav Elazar Kaffer, hashkafically it's wrong. A person shouldn't live that kind of life. Fine. But in other words, but to bring a carbon chatas, meaning a carbon chatas is very regulated. The Torah says that a carbon chatas only comes under certain circumstances. The avera that has to be violated has to be of a certain caliber of avera in order to bring a carbon chatas. The mission increases. The first mission increases. Goes over the averas that one is eligible to bring a chatas. The only 36 of them in the Torah. The number's really not 36. There are a number of ways you could do the accounting, right? But boil it down to 34, because two of them are essays. So there are only 34 averas in the Torah that you're subject to a carbon chatas. So the idea over here is that granted hashkafically it's the wrong type of living, but for that now to be the explanation of why I know she wasn't a nazira, it's me'akar akar, it retroactively undoes it. But now because of that, she's going to have to bring a carbon chatas. So I'm just. By the way, I also know that Tosos over here does limit the Gemara's answer over here. It's only going to be for the Chatzos Ofen, it won't be for the Chatzos Behema. Anyway, I don't want to get too down this point, but still, it's just a worthwhile consideration that the Gemara is explaining that even though, despite the fact she's not Nazira, but a Chatzos is still in order because of Rav Elazar Kaffer. Yeah, no.
Somebody who doesn't drink wine doesn't bring a chatas, obviously.
Right, no. In other words, I understand. No, you're right. In other words, she's making a hashkafa out of it. Right. In other words, this is the right way to live. Right? It's right to live without wine. And she's making a hashkafa out of it. I understand. I'm just marveling at the fact that, and therefore, that explains why she brings a carbon chatas. Right? That's a lot. Good. Okay, Tashma. D'tanya Behejo. And so the Gemara says, okay, so now we have been on this topic since yesterday, going into today's daf, the Gemara continues. Tashma d'tanya b'hedja. Here we have a raisa. Ha'ish shenadra menazir. V'shama chaverta. V'am ravani. V'ava ala shalav rishona. V'efer lahi motes. V'chaverta asura. Shema min abal megas gayis. And so over here, this braisa, there's no discussion of the braisa. The braisa says it, right? And one has to wonder. First, let me explain the braisa, and then I'll wonder. So the braisa says that in a scenario in which a woman commits herself to being a Nazira, another woman overhears and says, me too. And then the husband is mefer, his wife's neder, that's the first woman. So now the first woman's Nazira now falls away because of the afara. But the second woman who said, me too, she's going to continue to be a Nazira. Why? Because the afara is only prospectively, not retroactively. So the second woman wanted attachment. She wanted atfasa. There's something to attach to. Good. So clearly over here in this braisa, there's nothing to discuss. Meaning the conclusion of this braisa is megas gayis. Okay. That's the braisa over here. Once you have this braisa, you go back and you're like, why did the Gemara go through all the other mishnais and all the other braisas, right? And going back and forth. But again, right, you've been in the daf long enough, you know, that's a style. That's a style of the Gemara in which we'll test and we'll go through other mishnais and braisas. Fine. Tosus over here points out that the Gemara's conclusion over here seems to be very clear. Meanwhile, at the beginning of the whole sugya, we seem to have braisas going in the other direction as well. Okay, Tosus says that as much as the Gemara seems to have arrived at a very definitive conclusion, maybe from that braisa you can conclude one way, from other braisas you can conclude other ways. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Okay, now, here, we quoted the braisa. The truth of the matter is the point has been made. But as long as we're quoting the braisa, the Gemara is now going to go and present the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im amar la hareini kamosech, shtei mutaras. Now, if let's say, instead of the second woman saying va'ani, she says hareini kamosech, right? In other words, I'm going to be like you. Okay? Again, the first woman who was married says, I'm going to be Nazira. Second woman says, instead of saying the word vani, harini kamosech, I'm going to be a reflection of you. Okay, so under those circumstances, what Rabbi Shimon will now argue, not argue, but his position is that when the hafar is done to the first woman, so the second woman now is going to be materis as well.
Even with Megas guys,
because basically, I'm with you and I'm with you to the end. In other words, whatever happens to you, now, in other words, I'm just simply with you. Okay. So, Marzo Shabray, the Rav... Yeah, presumably. Marzo Shabray, the Rav Mari Amar, hi. So, hi, Haina Durami Barchama. So the Gemara says, you know, Mar Zutra says, this discussion that we had in the Braisa of Hareini Kamosech, in terms of whether or not, or it's going to be following where she was at the time when the second woman said me too, versus what's going to end up happening to her, and that is that the husband's going to be Mefer, and whether or not we follow what happened at the time of the second woman's commitment, versus what's going to happen eventually to the first woman with the affair of her husband. This is echoes of Rami Bar Chama. Sounds like Rami Bar Chama. Meaning, Rami Bar Chama asks a question, and in a moment we're going to articulate the question. The question Rami Bar Chama also, we saw back in Adarim, so hopefully there as well, it will ring a bell. So what Mar Zutra is doing is he's just simply making connection. This point of Rabbi Shimon, it's Mamish Rami Bar Chama. Dabai Rami Bar Chama. What's the question, Rami Bar Chama? So Harei Alai Kebasa Zevach Shlamim. Mahu. So back in Adarim Daf Yud Aleph, right? I wish I could remember which daf it was. I looked it up. Anyway, the Gemara back in Adarim and Daf Yud Aleph asked the following question. I want to do a hatfasa, right? You see these fruit over here. I don't have fruit in front of me right now. All this is academic. You see this fruit in front of me right now. I want to make it like Basar Zevach Shlamim. The meat of a carbon shlamim. Oh, okay. And what did I mean by that? So, mahu. Ki matfis inish bi kara matfis odim abitsinina matfis. Oh. So, basar zevach shlamim. So, for a moment, let's just talk about basar zevach shlamim. So, it went through a little bit of a history, right? In other words, how do we get here to the meat of carbon shlamim? So, first thing that happened is I took an animal, I was makdish the animal, turning the animal from chulim to shlamim. At that point in time now, that animal is hektesh. It is absolutely usur for everybody. Then what happens is that we shech the karmen shlamim, and then we do the zrikas adam. And also we take the imurim of the karmen shlamim, we bring it onto the mizbeach. After all that, then we're left with the meat of the animal. What do you do with the meat of the animal? Enjoy it. We eat it. So where do we eat it? We eat it. You can take it outside the azar, but it still has to be eaten within the confines of the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, fine. So that's a lot. So when I say that this fruit in front of me right now is going to be like Basar Zevach Shlamim, what stage of Basar Zevach Shlamim was I referring to? That's the question of Rami Bar Chama. Was I following Ikara? Meaning, was I basically saying the Basar Zevach Shlamim while it was in a state of Isser? Or no? Maybe I meant Basar Zevach Shlamim after the Zrikas Dam and after the Haktaras Imurim. And once everyone's sitting down at the table enjoying the Zevach, the Basar Zevach Shlamim.
What is she saying then? If it's after, so what is she saying? I can eat it. So she didn't say anything. She didn't restrict anything.
I do hear your question. I hear it. But, okay.
It makes more sense to be, she did it to
Asr. Point very well taken. I'm with you. So what the Gemara now is saying is as follows. So you hear that question? It's very similar to our question over here. Again, what happened over here? The first woman declared herself to be Nazira. Second woman said, Hareini Kamosecha, I'm going to be like you. And then what happens is that the husband of the first woman was made for the neder. The second woman now, when she says Hareini Kamosecha, which stage was she going to? Was she going to the stage where the first woman originally declared herself to be a Nazir? Was she going to a later stage post-Hafara? At which stage was she pointing to? So the question of Rami Bar Chama is very similar to our discussion over here. Gemara says, okay, So the Gemara says, okay, so I like the comparison, but like with every comparison, so you can also contrast, right? Compare, contrast. So the Gemara now is up to the contrast stage. So me dummy. Hasam over there came in the Amara like Kebasa Zevach Shlamim, Afag Abdelachish and Israq Damo, Matzi Achale Bechutz, Mikdash Kaddish, So the Gemara says, okay, look, there's a number of different ways you can contrast it. The Gemara says, I can contrast it from the following perspective. Even as we sit down at the table to eat our basar shlamim, is it kadosh? Yeah, of course it's kedusha. meaning I know the Torah allows us to eat it and allows us to enjoy it, but still, it's karban. We're sitting down and we're eating karban. So it has kedusha. Masha'in came after, in for the first woman, post-Hafara. Do you know what her neder at this point in time is? Zero. It's nothing. So the cases are not perfectly comparable. So igadarmi hainadarami barchama vadai. And the Gemara says, oh, maybe no. Maybe the comparison is better than the contrast. Meaning, what the Gemara is asking now, it's not even asking. It's just, it's fine-tuning is, so what's better? Is it the compare better or the contrast better? So, okay. And the Gemara goes back and forth on whether we compare or we contrast those two cases. I was thinking the same thing. I'm going to repeat Phil's point for everybody. Another way to contrast the two cases is that in the case of Afara, so it could very well be that the neder is going to last. Could be. And so when the second woman signs up and attaches, in other words, it could very well be that the neder will be there forever. Masha'in kein, basar zevach shlamim. So the correct thing to do is to take a carbon shlamim and convert it. Meaning zrika sadam is the mitzvah. And so you know the basar zevach shlamim is going to be mutter. Okay, just another way to contrast the two. Okay. Okay, fine. We're still now holding by the two women. Okay? But over here we're gonna throw in another wrinkle in this discussion. First woman says, I'm gonna be a Nazira. Second woman says, you know what? Love it. So we saw the second woman express herself with the words Va'ani. We saw the second woman express herself, Hareini kamosech. I'm gonna be like you. So now Amra La Hareini Nazira Biikvayech Mahu. So you know what? I'm heading down that same road. Right, almost literally, right? Ikvayach literally means your heels. Basically, that path you're going on in life, right? I'm going to go down the same path in life. Okay. Hareini be'ikvayach. So mahu. So hareini be'ikvayach b'kula milsa. Odilma, I'm sorry, visharya. Odilma kemeker delay for labala. I'm sorry, kemikami delay for, I'm sorry. Odilma kemikami delay for labala and therefore asira. So, when I say, sign me up for what you're going to go through in life, right? In other words, the first woman says, you know, I'm going to be Nazira. And the second woman says, Hareini kamosech. Sorry. That was previously. Hareini biikvayach. So Hareini biikvayach could be understood in one of two ways. So the first way to understand it is basically wherever, now I don't want to get too general, but I was going to say wherever life takes you. No. In this neder that you now just signed up for, when I say Hareini b'ikvayach, I'm basically like, wherever this neder goes, I'm going as well. Including if your husband decides to be made for it. Okay. So basically, I'm in for that as well. On the alternatively, Hareini b'ikvayach could just simply be a snapshot. Right? It could be a snapshot of that moment. Meaning at that moment, the first woman declares herself to be Nazira. And when I'm saying Hareini b'ikvayach, meaning I'm signing up for the Naziris. Whatever happens to you from this point going forward, that's a you issue. But in other words, I'm signing up for Naziris. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay. So good. So question asked. Question is going to at least attempt to be answered. So Tashma. Isha shenadra v'nazir v'shama balava v'amar v'ani. So eini yachol la'afer. Okay. Now, a woman declares herself to be a Nazir. The husband hears and the husband says v'ani. This is the Mishnah. We saw this Mishnah yesterday. So, any yochel hafer, he no longer could be made for his wife's neder. Isak adacha, ki amar la, hareini biikvayech, biikara kamatvis. So, lefer la lidida, volukim didei. So, the Gemara says, so now, if you're of the position that hareini biikvayech is really just simply an expression of, snapshot of where we are right now. Meaning that the woman says, I'm going to be Nazir. Her husband hears and says, yeah, Va'ani. And Va'ani is just a snapshot of that moment in time. So how about do the following? How about now be made for his wife's Nadarim? It's not going to affect his. Why? Because he wasn't saying, I'm going down your path. He was just simply saying, let's take a snapshot of what's happening right now. Right now you're Nazira. I want to do that as it's presently, in its present form. Meaning a snapshot. A snapshot of that moment in time. So I'm going to be a Nazir. And why can't he be made for his wife's Nadarim and that not affect his. So that's the Gemara's question. Lefer lali didavalukim diday. So ela lav shmamina bekula demosa matfis veilka chudul amati mefer ha'isha damer arini bigveich. So he nami muteris. So the Gemara says, ah, you know why? Because it must be, it's not a snapshot. What it must be is that when he says vani, he's basically saying, whatever life takes you, I'm gonna go there with you vis-a-vis this neder. And here comes the problem. The problem now is that once he's made for her neder, that also will undo his own, and you can't do that. You can't undo your own neder. And the Gemara says, no, don't be so fancy. Lo. La'olam bi'ikara matfis v'hachi kevim d'arma la'vani k'omer k'ayim lechi dami imisho ha'kamasa matzi mefer v'yilo lo. And the Gemara says, and hopefully again, this should ring a bell because we saw this just yesterday. No, in other words, the words v'ani, you don't have to touch up the word v'ani. It's a snapshot. It's I'm going to go wherever you're going to go. You don't have to get involved in that. When you say the word v'ani, when the husband says the word v'ani, incorporating the v'ani are 2 points. Number one, sign me up as well. And number two, I'm also rubber stamping your neder. In other words, kiyum ha-neder. By me saying va'ani, I am not only committing myself to be a nazir, I'm also giving you a tremendous yesha koach. In other words, I'm saying to you, that's a great idea. That's called kiyum ha-neder. So do you know why the husband can't be mefer after he said the word va'ani? It has nothing to do with how to touch up the word va'ani. It has to do with the fact that it's just simply kiyum ha-neder. Right, and therefore,
I'm asking why is that? If with the case with the husband, he's still tied to it because he reinforces it.
Right. In other words, he has. Remember, the husband.
And she says ani, and the husband of the first woman releases her from the neder. Now the second woman is also released.
So no, he does not have the right to release the second woman. In other words,
I know, but she does by part. She does get released. Read, no,
the in the case of the husband and wife, the husband has rights over his wife in terms of afar and in terms of kiyum. So when he says va'ani, that now is kiyum, which is in his right to do. When it comes to the two women, in other words, he has no ability or right to be mekayim.
Another woman has no ability.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, that's why she's
right. Okay. Last part for today. Hareini nazir va'at va'amra amen mefer et shalah. And Shalokiyim. Okay, so husband says, I'm going to be a Nazir and Ve'at. And she's, and what about you? And she says, okay, sign me up. Right? You want to change our lifestyle? Okay, I'm here for you. And she says, V'am Ramein. So Mefer et Shalah and Shalokiyim. So despite the fact that at that point in time, it was a beautiful moment in their marriage. Right? He says, I'm going to be a Nazir. And what about you? She's like, okay, great. And then afterwards, after reconsideration, he says, you know what? It's not for you. It's not for you. For me, I'm good. But it's not for you. So he could do that. In other words, he could be made for a neder and he can keep his own neder. Good. So far, so good. That's the Mishnah. Okay. Again, it's strange marriage dynamics, but I mean, we obviously care about that. But from a legal standpoint, it makes sense. Good. However, the problem now lies in a brisa uriminu. The Gemara quotes the brisa. Hareini nazir vaad v'amra amen shnei masurim ve'im lav shnei mutarim imnei shetala nidra b'nidra. So the brisa over here now basically understands that somehow in what seems to be the exact same case of the Mishnah, so the two of them are linked together, tied together. Either they're both going to be bound by the neder, or once he's made for the neder, he's made for both nidarim, his wife's and his own. So I'm Rav Yehuda Tini Mefer Shalav Shlokiyim. So what Rav Yehuda does is he basically takes out a pen and he edits the Brisa. In other words, I'm not going to have the Brisa going against our Mishnah. So what you'll do is you'll edit the Brisa. No, we've done that before. We've done that before. Amoraim have done that before. And when I have a steer between the Mishnah and the Brisa, so what's going to happen is that the Mishnah has more authority, and so the Brisa will be edited to corroborate together with the Mishnah. Good. That's Rav Yehuda's approach. Abai Amar Filotema Kediktani. So Abai says, no, how about we don't do that? Okay, and I always have in my mind a general question of, were Amoraim split on how much editing power we have over Brises? I know there's a thesis there, I just don't, I've never done the legwork and I don't have it fully formulated yet. But in the Gemara, I always hear this in the Gemara in terms of whether or not we should just edit the Braisa or right, or maybe it's better not to touch it. Leave it unedited and just give another explanation. Okay. So Abai Amar Filotema Kediktani. So Braisa could go into Gamarla Harani Nazir Vat. Dikatali Nidra Benidra. Now over here, what's really important, and I know I'm doing a bad job, is giving proper inflection to the word Vat. Meaning, in our Mishnah's case, Harani Nazir, I'm going to be a Nazir, and he turns to his wife and says, and what do you want to do? Right? In other words, there's like a little bit of a pause where I declare myself to be a Nazir, and knew what do you want to do? But it's separated. Right? Harani Nazir, okay, almost like a pause, Va'at. And you, are you in, you're out? And she says, you know what, I'm in. Okay, good. Again, beautiful moment. But because now they were separated, so therefore he can keep his own neder, and meanwhile he can be married for his wife's neder. Okay. Over here, however, Abaye says the Braisa wasn't describing that. Right? The Braisa was describing Harani Nazir Va'at. Right? In other words, he basically, this is either a joint project or it's not. So Dekatalo Nidra B'Nidra. He's actually attaching his neder to hers. Oh, so in other words, so once he basically has it as a package deal, Umasisan Gagon Damarle Harani Nazir. That's my. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, we're on the top of Chagim Lamed Aleph, so the Mishnah is Harani Nazir, right? Pause, semicolon, and now where do you want to go? So then Mefer Shalav Shalokiyah. Okay, good. So in other words, with an important inflection point between Harani Nazir Va'at, so that's going to make the distinction between our Mishnah's case and the Bryce's case. In the Mishnah, two totally separate points. My own commitment, and then my question to you, where do you stand? The Braisa, according to Abaye, I'm going to be a Nazir with you. In other words, and if you're in, I'm in. If you're not in, I'm not in. Okay. And that distinguishes between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ad Khan.
Why couldn't the Ati be
meaning, right, the inflection is going to be, according to Abaye, the inflection is going to be the determinant of how to interpret it. Okay. Good. That's a quick recap of today. Nazir Daf Chav Beis. So we started today finishing up the Gemara's very fundamental discussion of how does Afar work? Lema Freya, Mi'ikara, or Megas Gaius? No, only prospectively. Mikan Ulahaba. Okay, very basic question. According to our Sugya's conclusion, it's Megas Gaius. It's only Mikan Ulahaba. It's not Lema Freya. But again, that's one braisa, and there are, we went through between yesterday and today, an assortment of mishnayos and braisas that speak to this topic, but there's one braisa that said it beferish. But Tosu says it is the conclusion of one braisa, not necessarily the Gemara's final conclusion. Okay. When a woman declares herself to be a Nazir, a second woman overhears and says, me too. And now the first woman now is first woman's neder has been mufard by her husband, been revoked by the husband. Now the second woman is what's her status going to be? So, the Gemara Marzutra ties this question to the question of Rami Bar Chama. What's the question of Rami Bar Chama? The zevach baser shlamim. The Zevach Basar Shlamim, when I say this fruit should be like Zevach Basar Shlamim, at what stage of Zevach Basar Shlamim? And the Gemara wants to know that question of Rami Bar Chama, similar to ours. And then the Gemara did its classic compare and contrast. They're comparable, but not perfectly. And is the Gemara more excited about the comparison or the way it contrasts? And the Gemara goes back and forth on that issue. And then finally, our last topic of discussion today, now second to last topic, Chav Beis Amud Beis. And that is Hareni Be'ikvayach. In other words, the second woman says to the first woman, right, I'm following your footsteps, right? Literally. That's what the words literally mean. Obviously not literally, but figuratively. You declare yourself to be a Nazir, I'm going to follow in your footsteps. So following your footsteps either means snapshot of this moment in time, or no. Following your footsteps is wherever life takes you regarding this neder. Meaning if your husband goes ahead in Mayfair, I'll be there as well. Whatever happens to you, I'm attaching myself to that. Good. That's the Gemara's question. And Gemara goes back and forth on that very issue as well. Finally, in our Mishnah's last case of Hareini Nazir Va'at, where the Mishnah says that though they could be separated, and even though she says Amen, he could be made for that, but meanwhile maintain and retain his Nazirus, and the Gemara quoted a Braisa that said no, that they're attached. And so what do you do? Two approaches of the Gemara. The Rav Yehuda approach is edit the Braisa so it conforms with our Mishnah. Second approach, Abaye. Don't edit the Braisa. Just give a different inflection point in the Braisa. And so we can make a distinction between Mishnah and Braisa.